Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here for our sixth season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show, Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it. And it is now one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. During the live show, our storytellers share their coming out stories and then our improvisers bring them to life. Podcast is a little bit different. We still have a storyteller share their stories, but instead of folks improvising, we talk about them. And I am so excited about my guest here with me today, Irina Nayfeld. She, they, or Dr. Nay, if you're feeling fancy, is a psychologist of human development, education consultant, embodied healing facilitator, and nature connection guide. She is also a poet, a dancer, an auntie, a wild woman, and an aspiring farmer and herbalist. After spending many years in chronic pain and burnout, she has spent the last decade rehumanizing and reclaiming her wholeness and her joy. Irina now delights in creating soul-nurturing, humanity-affirming spaces that guide others into reconnecting with themselves, each other, and the natural world. Hello, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. How you doing? How's your heart?
Aw, what a beautiful question. My heart is quite happy, actually, at the moment. I'm feeling quite content and joyful and happy to be here with you.
Amazing. I'm glad to hear that.
How's
I keep thinking,
heart?
Oh, how is my heart? My heart is, it's good, and it's also in a period of like growth and understanding, if that makes sense, and like trying to figure out how to hold and navigate new feelings I've never had before or similar, you know. So it's like I'm in flux right now. That's where my heart is.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
something
it's cool place to be. No, I yeah. Mean yeah, it could be like that sometimes.
Yeah. So we all have multiple coming out stories. We have multiple coming into self stories. It's never just a one and done type deal. So I would love to hear one of those stories, one of those experiences that you would like to share with us.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. And I just want to say, I really love that the way you frame it for this, for the show is that there's like coming out or coming into.
Yeah.
Because that language helps me a lot. Because for me, it really does feel like a coming into. Like it almost feels like I at some point began like shedding all the like conditioning and layers that weren't me. And then it was like, oh, right. Of course. I'm queer and I didn't, it's like I was so disconnected from myself that I didn't know it for a long time, you know? Like I think for me it really took you know, like you read my bio and you know I had all this chronic pain. I was totally living in a way that was so disconnected from myself and my body. So I, you know, I think like for me, my coming into story really involves me slowly reconnecting with my own body. And then from there being like, oh, wait, my body, you know, like I stopped seeing it from the lens of like, am I too fat? Am I this? Am I this? Like all of those things. And I started actually like feeling my feelings and feeling my body. And at some point I read, you know, Adrienne Marie Brown, Pleasure Activism. Like I've read that book, and I think it's there that she talks about like just practicing like connection with your own body and like self-pleasure, but not in like a way to arrive at orgasm, but like as actually just feeling yourself. And there was something in that that was so revolutionary for me, and I started like actually feeling my like softness and my feminineness. And from there it was like, wait, there was like a door that opened that was like, oh, if my body, if I think my body is like sexy and beautiful in its like femininity, then like I was like, oh wait, of course other women and of course other, other like feminine embodied beings. And then it was kind of like a floodgate of like, oh wait, all those girls that I like thought were cool or pretty in like middle school, and I thought maybe I just wanted to like be like them. I'm like, wait, I had a crush on her. Like, my brain was just like, oh, like, yeah. So I kind of just started remembering, like, like fantasizing about women when I was like, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, whenever you start, and then just kind of like tucking that away for, 20 years or whatever. So yeah, kind of that, and then slowly just like feeling into it, being like, okay, this is here. And also finding community and finding people that are like, oh yeah, no, you can do this. Even though, I was like in my 30s, like early 30s, when I really was like, wait, I'm queer. And people were like, yeah, that's cool, come in. There's room. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Thank
Yeah.
you for sharing that. I first of all, just in me having conversations with people like this pretty regularly, and just in the work that I do, I feel like people are coming into themselves and out later in life because there's so much more. At least what I've noticed is that there's so much more language to describe experiences that's so much more robust than it ever has been. And even though there's like a general, like, really scary anti-LGBTQ sentiment that's happening all over the country right now, there's also that the beautiful community and people that you referenced of like, we love you, come on in. And so I think that also helps folks to feel comfortable coming into themselves and to recognize parts that they had been hiding away for so long.
Yeah.
And it's really heartening to see just the vast just array of different kinds of people coming out as different, coming into themselves, coming back to themselves, right? Coming back home to who they always have been, even if they didn't have the awareness around it.
Yeah,
So
that's
I,
exactly what it feels like.
yeah. So you mentioned that you're, slowly reconnecting with your own body, and that pleasure activism was one of those moments that helped you kind of, you said like open the floodgates and let things kind of come into place. But I'm curious if there were other moments maybe that led you to reading pleasure activism, and also a kind of, and this might be too personal of a question, so please, you don't have to answer it, but were there, what was the, like, why so many people are disconnected from their bodies or from themselves for many different reasons. Like for me, I was very disconnected from my body, from myself, because I was absolutely terrified of knowing myself to be a trans person and a queer person. And that was so, and I'd known it forever. I just didn't know how to talk about it and didn't have the language. And so I just drank to oblivion and disconnected as much as possible because I didn't want to be present. And so I'm curious if there was like something clear for you that you're like, I don't want to be connected to this, or if it was something different.
I think for me it was it really was a journey of like growing. Like I grew up in the Soviet Union, like Jewish, in the Soviet Union. I come from family of, the, lost people to the Holocaust, World War II, a lot of like that, like Jewish trauma and hiding that came from being in that part of the world, and that like it was still present, right? Like I, we came as refugees to the United States when I was almost 10 years old. And so like even within my lifetime, there's just like so much of my history and my family's history has been shaped by like, being the other and having to like hide and mold yourself and kind of take on these values of like, okay, well, just be like, be good and be productive, and and then like coming and being in this immigrant child and being like, okay, well, now I have to get all A's and I have to be a good girl, and like that was really so much of my shaping. And like I'm definitely a highly sensitive person. I'm someone that like historically grew up really like feeling the stress and the needs of everyone else and kind of like molding myself to accommodate them. And so, who I actually am got lost in that. It was like I became what everybody else kind of, or what I perceived as like everyone else needing me to be or wanting me to be. So I was, getting all A's. I went and I did my doctorate and I worked at the same time so that I was making money while I was studying and getting scholarships. And I was kind of on this like, and I was trying to save the whole world. I was like totally like, I'm gonna save all the children and be a psychologist. And, but it's like, I was really trying to save myself. It's like you do the work that you actually need.
Yes.
So at some point my body started like, I was in I think second year of grad school, and my body started breaking down. Like I started having chronic stomach stuff and hip and back pain. My hair was falling out and I was like 25 years old maybe, and that really led me to a lot of doctors and a lot of diagnoses that I was like, this is insane. And that eventually led me to, I mean, a book that completely changed my life was Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Connection, by Dr. Sarno. And it like really talks about all the repressed, like not just, people talk about pain as like, oh, stress causes pain. And it's like, yes, but also like all that shit we repress and that inner fight of ourselves of like, here's who I actually want to be. Because there's, like you said, there's that part of us that always actually knows who we are. But then there's like all that stuff on top of it. So either we like numb it by drinking or working or this or that. And then at some point, my body was like, So it's really through having chronic pain for like almost a decade and trying to figure it out and fix it. And I thought I was broken, for a really long time. And then finally finding the people that started talking about physical pain as real, not like all in your head. It's real. And it's coming from like that deeper place of like subconscious, things being buried. And that just led me to like even feeling my feelings, like your feelings are in your body. So it's like even that of like, oh, I can actually feel angry, or I can actually feel like, sadness, like actually just be with it and feel it. And that really led me to like, oh, my body is here and I can actually feel parts of it. And it's not just for like performance or for being attractive to men or, whatever. It's like, no, there's wisdom and beauty here. And yeah, I was just so disconnected from like all parts of myself. So that's really what led me on that journey. I didn't even know what I was disconnected from. Like I said, it's like only in hindsight now that I'm like, oh, there's all these signs of like the people I was attracted to and the places I tried to hang out and all of that, where I'm like, oh, it's me. But I was like, I guess I just like people who live as their full selves. And it's like, you can try doing that too.
Yeah, so much of what you just said resonates, and there's, I mean, as you were talking about like feeling your feelings, that's like in therapy. My therapist is like, we've been really working on me feeling my feelings. He's like, I'm so proud of you for feeling your anger. Because it's like I always felt like I couldn't be angry about things, and that really does mess with your body, messed with my body. And though like And it's wild how feeling your feelings without numbing them first, how much quicker they process.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that like I have noticed? I was just like, oh, I did that already. It's nice.
Like it's not forever. Like you're not gonna stay in it forever.
This too shall pass. I love what you said about like you doing all this work to help other people, but when really it was for yourself. And I feel like I am also doing that of I talk about sometimes being the queer person that I never had when I was a kid, and like really just but I you know so I am doing it for other people, but I'm also do I really am doing it for myself of like carving the path and living a life that I want to live. And it's a lot harder than people think it is. You know, it's like it's really hard to do that and to like live in one's values and live in your integrity. And it's like all this like, oh, you know, it's like, but like in the best way. Do you know what I mean? Like I say
No,
that.
I 100%. I feel that so hard because it's like I wouldn't choose it any other way, and I'm so grateful for this path and that I get to live a life where I am fully myself. Like, what an absolute joy and blessing. And it is so effing hard.
It is so hard. It's so hard. I talk about it. I also talk about this in therapy every week of like, it's almost like a little, like a whining baby. It's like, it's not fair. Like, why do we do, why only some people do the work? And like, shouldn't we all be doing this work? And it's like, to me, it feels like it should be required as a human to like do the work. It's just there's it's so much better on the other side.
There's so much better on the other side, but it's really hard when you're like
It's so
existing
hard.
in a world where the majority of people aren't doing it, and you're like, yo, but can we just be more human, please?
And that, and but you know what? Also, I think that's what makes it even specialer to meet people who are doing the work, because then it's like, okay, I can like relate and connect to certain people on deep on a deeper level because some of that work is already being done. And I mean, it is done, it is continuing, we'll always be working on things, but there's a at least in my experience, it's easier to it is I want to figure out how to say this. I appreciate connecting with people who are also doing the work because there is that kind of like baseline understanding around certain things that you don't get with people who aren't doing the work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can, you're just like, oh, we're on the same, like there's a foundation already. So we could just have this conversation, and like I can say something, and I know that even though like our journeys have been different, of course, like the like the root of it and the texture of it. You know, like you can relate it to your experience. You're not like, what is she talking about? Like,
It's
it's nice.
you brought up Dr. Sarno's book, and I have to tell you about this experience. So I have chronic headaches every day, and I have seen a million doctors, and no one can figure it out. And I'm like pretty sure it's, and I also have chronic back pain, and I'm like positive that it's, you know, emotional. And like, you know, it's like what you were saying of like this like stuff that's inside. And so I've been
Yeah.
doing so much to help myself. Like I'm meditating every day, I'm practicing gratitude, I'm breathing, I'm exercising, and I'm in therapy, I'm on Zoloft. Like I'm doing like as much as I can. But
Yeah.
I went to see a doctor, and because I few, like, maybe it was like a year ago, maybe a little, yeah, it was probably a year ago, because I was kind of just at my wit's end. And I went to see like a generalist, because I've been seeing like neurologists and, you know, like orthopedic people. And I was like, maybe someone who has like a more holistic, and he, well, long story short, I had thyroid cancer a few years ago, and he was convinced that it metastasized into my brain, and that's why I had headaches. And I was like, it did not metastasize. Like, ask my oncologist, ask everybody. And he like wouldn't believe me. And so it set off this appointment. I promise there's a point to the story, but it set off the appointment of him not believing me. And so he had to like message my oncologist while I was sitting there to like get proof. And I was like, I'm telling you, it didn't.
This is my body.
I was in all the appointments where my doctors multiple times said it did not spread anywhere. And so he, for my, it was like for back and hip pain. And I was like, so like physical therapy. And he was like, no, you have to read these three books before I'll prescribe anything for you. And one of them was this healing back pain by Dr. Sarno. And so in no one's defense, in whatever, I was like, only really despite myself, I was like, I'm not reading these books because you didn't believe me earlier. Like, it's almost like the trust was already severed. So I was like, I don't want to read these books
That makes
because,
sense.
and he like, I finally convinced him to prescribe physical therapy for me. I was like, is it going to hurt me? Like, it's not like I'm asking for Vicodin. I'm asking for physical therapy. So anyways, very long story, very short story long, actually. I think I want to read this book now that I'm hearing, because this is, you aren't the first person to mention this book to me. And then when he mentioned it, I was like, go F yourself. But now we're going to come back. And I'm like, maybe there's something to this book that I should read it.
That's really interesting. And like, I just want to say it 3,000% makes sense that like when this person doesn't fundamentally believe you and your own understanding of your body and like your knowledge of what's going on with you, like, yeah, totally. I would also be like, go F yourself. I'm not reading anything you give me. And, you know, I feel like there's a saying that I can't quite place right now, but it's like, there can be gold nuggets even from like the shittiest of places, you know?
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
maybe there's a nugget. 'Cause I mean, I was actually just talking about this to someone else earlier this week. Like, if there's a book that I could say like categorically changed my life, like there are lots of books that I'm like, this gave me a piece or an opening or you know, so I mean, there's so many beautiful authors that, you know, create so much wisdom, but like a book that shifted my life completely, because I went to so many doctors, so much physical therapy, so many different like prescriptions. I was told I need surgery, this, that. I mean, I can't even tell you, like it was, I mean, really years, like almost a decade. And that book changed my whole life.
Gonna order it the
So
second this episode's over.
wonderful.
And I will
And
report back.
also look, like I think maybe read that one first, because the Healing Back Pain is like short, but it's his first book. So then he has later books that are also co-authored by other specialists that like, so there's like people that are in his that like are connected to like that network, but like people that specialize in like migraines or chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or allergies, you know, so like the body has a lot of different ways that it can kind of create these symptoms. But yeah, I think some of his later books are even a little bit more built out, but the core of it is, remains, and it's, I'm excited for you.
Thank you, and I will be sure to let you know how it goes as
Yeah,
I'm.
keep me posted for sure.
I will. So it kind of on this subject, you do a lot of work with like in embodied healing. And so I'm curious, like, what does that actually mean? What is embodied healing? And how do people access it? Oh, that's
Whoa.
a little Zoom emoji thingy happening.
Zoom was like, good question.
Thank you, Zoom. All right, I'll start there and then I have more questions, but
Well, Zoom approves.
yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for asking that. I think you could probably tell, like, that work, the embodied healing work, obviously comes from my experience, right? Of like realizing how much of my own healing couldn't happen just in my head. So, yeah, it's really a work of guiding people into who they already are and what they already know by accessing the wisdom of their body. So a lot of us live like from the neck up, right? Like because of all kinds of things, right? All the programming, all the conditioning that tells us to prioritize thinking and intellect and productivity and rationality and linearity and also to disconnect us from who we are, right? Like whether it's because you're trans or queer or because you're just like all the systems really, like all those isms, like the racism and the capitalism and the patriarchy, like they all function based on disconnecting us from our own wisdom and power and our like inherent intellect and intuition, which all live in our bodies, So, I think a lot of us feel off, like we know that we are either really burnt out, we're exhausted, we're not doing the work we really want to be doing, we're not living as our real selves. We're not living in our like authenticity and our purpose, but we're like, is there another way? But we don't quite know how to access it. Like I work with people of all genders because I fully believe that people of all, identities and expressions need this, and I can see that how it shifts people. But like because I identify as a woman, I really identify as a woman plus, but my identity is that of a person in a woman's body. I do a lot of work with women, and like a lot of women feel super disconnected from their feminine, right? Like a lot of women feel really stuck in like not even like the healthy masculine, like they feel stuck in the like I just work and I do work and I take care of my kids and I keep going and I da 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 da, and like there's no like flow, there's no pleasure, there's no connection to like that self, like that makes life worth living, that makes us come alive, and that also gives us the knowledge of like, what do I actually feel? What do I actually want? What do I need? We're not even taught to like tune into our basic needs. Yeah, it's all of that. It's really like I fully know that all of this wisdom about who you are, how you want to be in the world, how you can use your voice to be live in the values you want to live and create the world you want to create, all of that is inside us, but we have to reconnect first. We have to remember. right? It's like a remembering and a reclaiming. And before we can do it for other people, you know, a lot of us are trying to save the world, right? Because we're like, ooh, things are kind of rough. Things are kind of rough out there. And they are for a lot of people. Things are really rough, and you know, the world. But when you try to come up salute with solutions just from the head, we're missing a huge part. You know, we're missing the heart and the body and the soul, and that's really the revolution we need. So it's really that personal healing on an embodied level, right? Like coming out of your head, and like it's like, what is in here? How do I be more fully human? How do I allow all those pieces back in that I've tucked away and suppressed? How do I integrate them into who I am? How do I start living more from my center as opposed to from here and let my head be in service to my center and my spirit and my heart and my body's wisdom as opposed to my body just being like a machine that gets me around. So yeah, all of that. So I do that like individually. I do individual like coaching, and I also do group programs. Right now I do women's group programs, but I'm thinking about extending it or like opening up to maybe doing like women and non-binary, or maybe eventually doing like everyone. You know, it's an ongoing process, but the community and healing in community is also really beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's really important to be in community with other folks. Do
Yeah,
you
to
think
see that it's not just you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think every human has inherent intellect and wisdom?
Yes.
How do we get people to want to access it? I think about that so much. I've been calling it like, and I know I'm not the only person who calls it this, but like an inner knowing of self, an inner knowing, but it's like you have to peel back those layers to get there, which is what exactly what you're talking about. And I talk to friends about like, what are the different access points to inspire someone to want to do that, the hard work that we were referencing, and to want to like find their inner knowing. So I'm curious, like, what are the access points, and how do we get people who want to heal?
That's a beautiful question. I think about that a lot too. I think a lot about like doorways, you know. It's like there's all these doorways, right? And for different people, there are different doorways. So the one answer that comes is like getting people to like know that there are different doorways, right? Like for some people it's yoga, and for some people it's nature, and for some people it's music, and for some people it's you know, being part of a community, right? Like there's all these different doorways, and not and so allowing that, like yes, like whatever doorway appeals to you, whatever like calls to you, go there. You know, like I think sometimes people are like, well, you have to, like, do you meditate? Well, if you don't meditate, you're never gonna elevate, or, you know. And it's like, meditation, or the way that meditation is kind of framed now in like the Western world, like, that's not for everybody. That doesn't call to you? Cool. Awesome. That's not for you. What calls to you? Oh, like, I like woodworking. Cool, go into woodworking, right? Like letting people know that there are infinite access points to knowing yourself more, is one answer that comes. And then another answer that comes, and this is kind of like the one that I've been living into more and more, is like embody it and people will feel it and they will want what you got. You know, like people when you are around someone that is connected to themselves and that moves from that place of inner knowing, you feel it, you know? And people around you feel it, and they're like naturally a little bit like, what are you doing? You know? And then you're like, well, you know, I do this and I dance and I move and I meditate and I do therapy or, you know, whatever. Like, you can tell them like whatever it is that like brings you into your wholeness, where and invite them on that journey with you. But I think people need something to spark that curiosity, and then they need to be shown that there is a way.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the people who feel threatened by someone living their truth, like kind of on the other end of the spectrum of like, I have been in situations where me just living my truth does inspire other people, and it does, like, you know, show folks like this is something that you can also do. And I have also been in situations where people feel threatened by it and people feel uncomfortable because it's like, well, why do you get to be free and open when I'm stuck in this box? You know, and it's like how I and you may or if, feel like if you had the answer, like the world would be solved. But like, I just want to know,
I'm
like,
working on it.
yeah, I know, no pressure though, right? How do we get the people who are threatened? And I am also just like thinking about, you know, this is a generalization, but like this white men Republican, like who like bully everybody, but also like secretly, you know, love things that they would be made fun of for, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to like name specific things, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's those people who are like bullying and are really terrible to a lot of people. And I know, like, you know, the saying of like hurt people, I get that. But how do we break through to those kinds of people of like, you too can heal and you too have this inner wisdom that is scary, but is worth it. You know what I mean? Like, because I feel like there's also like for folks, I think maybe there are folks who are more inclined to want to do the work, even if it's scary, versus like maybe that's based on how they were raised or like how they were raised or the communities that they're in versus the people who are just adamantly against any kind of growth or self-love or loving other people.
I mean, you know, like, what's their name? Oh my God. They're like Alok.
Alok.
Alok, Alok. Like, they're coming to mind as a person that really, I'm sure they also have moments where they're like, F this, and I'm sure they get a lot of, you know, they have a lot of like terrifying moments. But like, when I see, you know, if I see like their like Instagram, or I look at how they, you know, sometimes I'll listen to them talk about something, and they really center in this place of like, I see you, and I know that your pain and your hatred is coming from like you deeply wanting to be free too. Like, you are suffering, and you think you have to live in these boxes, and you've been probably like shamed and abused into fitting these boxes, and like, you are hurting me, and I see you, and I love you, and I wish you, I hope you get to a place where you get to live in your fullness too. And you know, I have no, I don't walk in this world as a trans person. Like, I'm, you know, I'm someone that gets by, right? Like, and so I it's like I can't even, imagine the journey of like just like you're just existing and people are like threatening your life about it, And so it's like, and the truth is that I don't know that they will all wake up in this lifetime. The truth is that I don't think they will. Some might. I think that it's spreading, right? Like the revolution is growing, right? As much as the other side is like, that's why they're all in a frenzy, because they see that like this revolution of people becoming more who they are, of creating spaces where we're saying, no, we're not going to hide. We're going to embrace people in all of their humanity, all of their identities, all of their beauty. Like it's growing. So we just got to keep feeding it and give them as much love as we can, and to invite them into the fact that they also are deep inside, they are also humans that have all of that potential. And, kind of just like hold the truth at the same time that this is generational work, like I don't think everyone, I don't think we're gonna get to all the, Republican, conservative, like same folks in this lifetime. So we just gotta be bigger and more beautiful and, find the safety and the love where we can, and take care of ourselves when we need to, right? Like sometimes you can be there and you can show up in that centered place of like, you're throwing all this hate at me, and I can say like, hey, I see you and I love you anyway. And sometimes you gotta be like, yo, can someone else do that for a while? 'Cause I gotta sit this one out. Like I need to love myself, or like someone come hug me, because it shit ain't easy.
No, that's a beautiful response, and I often think about and quote Alok in, similar fashion, because they are so smart. So smart.
They really are, Jim.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have them.
I agree. I just lost what I was going to say. Deet, 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 deet. It was about yesterday I went with a friend to some like industry cocktail hour as part of the Tribeca Film Festival, and we saw that Laverne Cox was going to be speaking in the room next door. And so we just like, we didn't have tickets, but we just like walked up like we owned the place and we got in. Which is like, I feel like just so, like, I feel like only in New York can you just like happen upon this like amazing thing and then just like do it. But it was really incredible to listen to her speak. And it reminded me of what we were saying of like, sometimes we have the capacity to show up with empathy and then sometimes we don't. And Laverne is like one of these people who has been on the front lines for the last more than, decade plus. He was the first out person on the cover of Time magazine and really paving the way for a lot of folks. And I've always kind of looked to her as, just like, how like Mr. Rogers says, like, look for the helpers. I feel like she's one of my helpers. I have a small little handful of helpers that I look to. And yesterday, she was like, basically said, I'm very much paraphrasing, but the gist was she's exhausted. She's terrified. She's like, she's hit a wall. And For me, on like the one hand, I so appreciate the like transparency and the honesty and the authenticity of, because I would much prefer that than toxic positivity of just like everything is great and like it's fine. But so I was holding like her saying those things with also like, oh shit, like if my helper is feeling this way, then like all is lost. And then my friend was like, oh, my friend was like, or it's helpful to know that you're not alone in this burnout. And it's helpful to know that like people are modeling what it is to feel burned out. And I was like, oh yeah.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
Right. So it just reminded me of what you were saying of like, sometimes we have the capacity and sometimes we don't. And I think that's part of the work is the like the give and take and the like we all play our different roles in the revolution, if you will. And sometimes our role is to rest. Sometimes our role is to feel joy. I've been seeing a lot of and this is maybe too complicated to suss out fully, but I've been seeing a lot of posts on Instagram, and I'm curious your experience of people shaming people for experiencing joy while genocides are happening all over the world. And like, how can you post yourself on the beach while people are being killed all over the world? And that does not sit well with me because it's like, can't I feel joy and pain? And only posting about pain, I feel, and I'm curious what, like, from like a psychological standpoint, like, and I'm doing this, like, I use the Balance app for meditation and I'm like in the different plans, like I'm learning. And it's like, we have a negativity bias is what I've learned. And it's like our brains default to the negative, and we have to like do the work to not default in that way. And I feel like if we're only posting about pain, then we're going to keep like it's going to be a cycle. I'm curious what you think of that.
Appreciate you bringing that up. Yeah, I sit with that a lot. I think about that all the time, especially because my personal experience has been like these last few months, I've been kind of in this place of, I went and I traveled for a few months and I kind of have been like finally following a lot of my like soul callings. Like, I went to Brazil and I am now like working on this herbal farm and doing kind of things that are really nourishing me in the deepest ways, things that I kind of like dreamed about and didn't allow myself to have for so long. And so, to be honest with you, I've been feeling so much joy lately. I've been feeling so much joy. And there's something really beautiful about sharing your joy with others, to really be like, oh my God, like I'm surrounded by flowers and it's beautiful. Or, like I finally feel like I'm living in a way that I feel excited about after so many years of, suffering and grief. And like, oh my God. And people, I can tell that people want to see, people want to share that, people want to celebrate you. Like most people are in a place where they're like, yes, we love this. And at the same time, I am a very deep feeling person. I am a person who is, very impacted by the suffering of the world and suffering of people and what's going on in, Palestine and what's going on in Ukraine. I'm like, I all these things have a personal connection for me. So I also am like always floating in that space. Like I feel at the same time as I'm feeling all this joy, I am feeling so much grief and so much despair and so much anger. And yeah, like I just and I find myself sometimes in that, like, should I not even post, like when I am feeling joyous, I'm like, should I not even post this? And then if I'm feeling in my grief, or I write a poem about, what's happening in Palestine or something, I'm like, oh, should I not post this? Does that seem performative? Like, it's like it fucks with you either way, right? Like, either way, if you orient to like what do they want me to be right now? What is appropriate given this, I don't know, whatever collective thing that's really also like just created by an algorithm? You're like, you can't win. So, and then there's people that are shaming people for feeling joy. Then there are people that are shaming people for posting only. It's just like, it's nonstop, So I really, for I've just had to I just have to keep like arriving in a place of like, I'm going to share what feels authentic to me, and I'm going to hold that I am a multidimensional being that like feels abundant joy, and what a blessing, and feels immense, immense grief, and that's here too. And like, I am all of this, and we are as a collective also all of this. And we can't exist. We fall into despair if we just focus on the despair, like you said. There's that quote, oh my God, what's her name? The Jewish woman, I'm gonna say her last name was Goldman, that said, like, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution.
I don't know that, but I like it.
Oh God, what was her name? But yeah, like that sentiment of yeah, we have a lot, we have a lot of work ahead of us, and we're in a really, really intense moment in time and history, and we're part of a revolution, and sometimes that revolution involves yelling and involves, being out and being loud and being angry, and that revolution needs joy, and that revolution needs dancing, and that revolution needs people resting or frolicking in nature or loving each other. Like, that's the revolution, We're not just gonna get there by zeroing in on the suffering. We're not gonna get there by ignoring it either, but like the fullness, we gotta orient fullness.
Emma Goldman.
Emma Goldman. Oh yes.
I googled it while you were
Good job.
speaking. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, can I Google and talk at the same time? Like, no,
I
I
can't. But I
can't.
can listen and Google at the same time.
Yeah,
So it
listen
was
and Google is
perfect.
enough. Why are we making green?
That's great. I wish we could talk. This is fascinating and I love talking about this stuff. So you'll have to come back when you're back and when and we should hang out not on podcast. So we can keep talking about this
Nice.
stuff
1,000% agree. Yes.
So I'm going to move us into our lightning round, which is meant to be silly and fun and lighthearted. And usually lightning rounds are like yes or no, either or questions, but I was called in lovingly that it was too binary. So my lightning round questions are mostly open-ended, so it makes it a little bit more challenging to do them quickly, but just answer as quickly as you can. You can pass if you don't want to answer. And there is one binary question that I simply could not get rid of. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is, okay, amazing. What is the name of your superhero alter ego?
Namira Badass Brooklyn.
Nice. Where is your favorite place to think?
Oh. Sitting with my back against this old giant oak tree that reminds me of my father.
Oh, very nice. Who is an influential queer person in your life?
Wow. Everybody. No, gosh, I'll say Adrienne Marie Brown.
What is a song that you can listen to on repeat forever?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wee. It's a Beautiful Day by Gare du Nord.
All right. What does identity euphoria feel like to
Question.
you?
Oh, it feels so good, baby. It's like, oh, like it feels like, oh, I can just be this. Cool. And then, yeah. Oh, it's
It's so good.
good.
Where do you find joy?
Nature and dance and loving community.
Beautiful. All right. The dreaded binary question. Bagels or donuts?
Oh my God, bagels, baby.
Yeah.
Bagels every day.
Yeah, like there aren't right or wrong answers, but that's the right answer.
It's the right answer. Yeah. Like
Yeah.
donuts on like, you know, give me a donut once a month.
I mean, to be real, like I could eat donuts every day also, but like I want a bagel
Yeah, no.
more.
A bagel is like, a donut is like, oh, yay, a donut. But like the foundation of the house is a bagel, you
The foundation of the house is a bagel. That's exactly
Quote
right.
me,
I
Dr.
will.
Nay.
I'm writing it down so I don't forget. The foundation of the house is a bagel.
If there's
Exactly.
anything anyone will take away from this episode.
It's true. That's gonna follow you forever, I hope, in the best
I
way.
hope so. I would be okay with that.
This has been lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming out.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Thanks so much, Dubs. This has been a joy. And yeah, I can't wait to keep talking, keep hanging out, keep rocking out, keep coming out, all of that.
Woo.
We're in this together, baby. Let's go.
We are. Let's LETSGO. Let's go.
Thank you for coming out.